Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. Who kind of take off? Hey, hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been moved. You were hating on the low. I've been moved. They were hating on the low. I've been moved. He was hating on the low. I've been moved. Hating on the low, I been new, I been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake, but it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Hoes stressing, they messy, bitches be broke and be petty. Hate on the low and it show cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. Nights ain't have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. Oh no, 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 can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I'm flipping for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been moved. You were hating on the low. I've been moved. They were hating on the low. I've been moved. He was hating on the low. I've been moved. She was hating on the low.
I say one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two time for the two time, cause they fake now. Three time for the three time, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight. You need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new. That they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window. But I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up. And you still broke my feet up. Got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, on fresh out. What?
Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been moved. You were hating on the low. I've been moved. They were hating on the low. I've been moved. Hating on the low, I've been moved. She was hating on the low.
Yo, what's up, people? Welcome to another edition of Real Talk with the new Miss Lovely Black. And I am Mo Benz. I don't know where Black is at for the intro. But yeah, man, welcome to the listeners out there. Let's see if I can text Black to see what's up. I don't know where my partner is. But I'm right here.
It's a fuck these kids kind of week.
Okay.
That's why I got you up in here. We'll talk about that. And when we talk about how my week went, man, what's happening, world? Welcome to Real Talk with the new Miss Lovely Black and my awesome soft co-host, Mo Benz. What do you do, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? It's another Sunday fun day. So roll something up, light something up, come kick it with your people.
For sure, man. Shout out to our top five countries. Nothing changed. Switzerland, South Africa, United Kingdom, United States. Who is the other one that be on there? Australia. Should I try top five in no specific order? For tuning in, tell a friend and another friend. This is what we doing and where we doing it at. All right. Whew, I'm outside, y'all. I'm outside. Now, me being the parent I am, it's summertime. So you want to turn up and do something big for the children during summer, all summer, right? So my ass, felt like, okay, you know, we finna go all out this summer. You know, this is the energy that I've been in for the kids. You know, the kids went away for the week, for like a month out the summer. They come back. This week we went to the pool. We went swimming, salt water. And the kids enjoyed themselves tremendously, hugging me all the time. Like, y'all better go play, goddammit, you know. This is me taking my time out of working to say this is y'all moment. Still got like two more things planned for them, right, which is a total of five things this summer. One, they was going to my daddy for a month. Two, they was coming back. We was going to go to the water. Three, I was going to get their pool set up. Four, we're going to the farm. Five, the last one, birthday. So really six, because my other one birthday is in May and the other birthday is in July. I got all summer kids. So I knew I had a jam-packed summer along with getting school closed. Da-da-da. It is what it is. It's what we do. I don't complain. Now, last year, my son come home with this big-ass pool. It's a blow-up pool, but it's big as fuck, right? Yeah. So my dad sent me a pump. So I was like, how considerate the fuck is he to send me a pump to blow up this damn pool, knowing this pool is big as it is, right? Right? Fuck no. So I get outside today, finally moved the pool. I hadn't moved it in a year. I kept saying, I'm going to do it, but my spirit was like, fuck that pool, right? So today I'm like, all right, well, instead of saying fuck the pool, we're going to get the pool blowed up. I pull out the pump that my daddy brought me. It's a fucking blow-up pump. It's a manual pump, right? So now me, I'm like, okay, pops, you know, you done got a manual pump for the pool. This pool bigger than a motherfucker. We're going to see, you know, maybe it go fast. Wrong.
Yeah.
I was on it for about 20 minutes. I lost a pound in 20 minutes. I said, fuck this. Fuck the pool. Fuck the kids. So I went on Amazon, I ordered an electric pump, all right? Didn't know what I was ordered an electric pump. Boom, 4 hours later, the pump here. Come to find out, the pump come with a car pump and a plug-in pump. So I'm like, man, look at God, man. So I'm finna go move the car from one side of the house to the other side of the house, plug it in, blow up the pool. My ass been out the motherfucking door for 45 minutes blowing up this damn pool with an electric goddamn pump. That should tell you how big this goddamn pool is. I'm sweating like shit. You got two levels to blow up. Then you got the sitting thing. Then you got the back thing on each side. So two sitting things, two back things, and then two levels of the damn pool. Huger than motherfucker. Now I'm at the point where now I got to rinse the pool out because it's a lot of, you know. And so I'm like, all right, you know, do I rinse it out tonight? But if I don't rinse it out tonight, I'm going to be busy for the rest of the week, and I'm going to be like, fuck these kids. So that's what I'm doing tonight. Now the pool done finally got blown up. I'm sweating like a slave. You can't tell me I wasn't in the movie Django right now with the way I'm looking. But I still got to spray the goddamn pool out, okay? So it's a fuck these kids type of week. You got to do it for the kids. To tell you, I got the topic tonight. Is it healthy to stay with somebody just for the kids, right? I did a reading, so you guys know, you know, Spiritual Goddess is my tarot name. Spiritual and then Goddess is G-A-W-D-D-E-S-S. I got an Instagram page, so I was like, you know what, let me start posting more Instagram. I went to Instagram, and I'm like, my reels been doing numbers on Instagram. So I'm like, damn, I wasn't even paying attention to the numbers that these reels was doing, right? I didn't even pay attention to the followers, because I think the last time I went on, I had 30-some followers. I went on, I had 81. So I was like, okay, well, you know, let's start, you know, doing the run-over readings on Instagram. So I was doing that today, and I don't read on Sundays, but I was. So one of the readings came up about somebody staying with somebody just for the kids, and I was like, okay. Next Sunday, we do Soul Food Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also will be diving super deep into this topic. So we're going to talk about it, but we don't really have enough time to go super deep into the topic. But we're going to graze the topic, you know. I hope Smooth is okay. Smooth hasn't called in a couple weeks. And, you know, Smooth, you know, has health problems from here and there. So hopefully he's okay. You know, the last time he went a couple weeks and we were super worried that he called back like, fuck y'all, I'm all right. You know, I'm a soldier. So hopefully he's okay with his health, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, he going to, you know, call in. Eventually this will be a great topic for him to hear his, you know, unbiased, assholic opinion. But other than that, this week has been, you know, aligning, man, like doing what's best for you, being in the energy. You know, for me, it's like being in the energy that you're supposed to be. It's a lot of things that's sent to distract you, and we don't pay attention to that, to the fact that we are distracted from our goal, our plan, or what it is that we want to do, because we are so embodied into whatever this energy is that then came in. And so this week, I realized that I was extremely distracted from what it is that I was doing. And as I was talking to, you know, Ianifa, you know, spiritual priestess, and, you know, so many different people this week, I was like, damn it. You know, I was on Erykah Badu page, and I just got this boost of positive energy. I love her, that's mother. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm not aligned with the fucking energy that I need to be aligned with, right? And so I kind of got back on that. You know, I really have a whole lot going on. You know, I don't really talk about things until, you know, they complete, but my plate is super full. And I just feel like I have things going on right now that is not conducive with my higher energy, you know. And because these things are not conducive with my higher energy, I got to let them go. You know, I love you, but I really don't. But I have to focus on what it is that I'm doing, right? And so we got an 832 number, and I know that ain't Smooth number, but we're going to check in. I really don't. You know, anything that's not aligning, I'm not. Took on a couple different assignments, spiritual assignments that I had to take on. And, you know, it's just this time is different. You know, I'm stupid busy on the back end, and I'm thankful for it because I just got, like, this rejuvenation of energy. Like, anything that doesn't serve me any purpose, got to get the fuck out of my life, you know. No matter who or what it is, you know. So that was my damn week, aligning my energy. That's what I can say. My energy felt motherfucking amazing. Let me check, Mo, and make sure that this is not Smooth calling in. This is a regular guest. Thank you for calling Real Talk with the new Ms. Lovely Black. Did you have a question, or are you just calling to listen in?
I'm just calling to listen in.
Okay, Asha, one moment. All right, so they just called in to listen in. So we got to get old Smooth out there in New Orleans, man. Hopefully he's doing good and there is no issues with Smooth Cat. No issues with Smooth Cat, man. But again, shout out to everybody else that's tuning in all over the world. I know we shout out our top five, mad appreciation. Tell a friend and another friend to tune in. Y'all see, my week has been hectic. I'm just like y'all. I have crazy weeks too, you know. Mo, man, what's up with your week?
So, yeah, so my week has been pretty chill. You know what I'm saying? I'm calling this week for the young black entrepreneurs. You know, like I've been, you know, I'm always reading. So right now the books I'm reading is The Black Woman's Guide to Understanding the Black Man. Very good book. Like I said, it's very eye-opening. Talks about a lot of different things, man. This just with the culture of black men, man, and it's been really 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 good, man. Read her last book, which was The Black Woman's Guide to Understand. No, what was it? No, The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman. So it's been good, just covering both angles and just analyzing black culture, black American culture specifically. So that's been dope. So big shout out to Shah Razad Ali. And then, you know, I'm always reading like a couple of books at once. So then Like I said, I've been reading My Infamous Life by Prodigy of Mobb Deep, you know, rest in peace to one of the illest to ever do it. But anyway, you know, so I've been going through like a lot of his songs because they put his, you know, Mobb Deep's albums has all, you know, been on Tidal, but Prodigy's solo albums was off Tidal for a minute, but, you know, they put it back on there. So long story short, from one of his first albums, he's got this one cut with BG, you know what I'm saying, from Cash Money, and it's called Young Black, YBE, which stands for Young Black Entrepreneur. So I've been vibing to that, man. That's the whole, you know, theme, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, big shout-out to my, you know, one of my partners up here, up in NY, Kev Herc. Got a chance to launch the Twitter space, you know what I'm saying? Shout-out to Reasonable Doubt. So, you know, just a little quick half an hour, you know, catch up. We just, you know, I don't want to say chop it up because I chop it up here. But Reasonable Doubt, like the concept of that, like I said, it's just with Twitter spaces. It's a half an hour. We do it on Tuesdays from 8 to 8:30. And that just gives me mad energy to bring to the chop up too, you know what I'm saying? But basically, what I like about the concept over there is, you know, if you ever listen to that classic Jay-Z album, Reasonable Doubt, which is his first album, he's got a lot of different songs on there that really just touch base on topics. You know what I'm saying? You could put a topic with it. Like, he's got a song called Politics as Usual. I got a song called Feeling It. Ain't No Nigga. So, you know, we try to, you know, whatever things we're talking about, we try to just incorporate that. So that's been cool, man. So big shout out to that. And then I'm planning this Boston getaway, you know what I'm saying? But the pregame to that, you know what I'm saying? Me and my wife, we always give each other space. You know what I'm saying? Hashtag happily married, man. Like, that's always, you know, that's, you know, black, you know, that's how I get down here. So my wife, I'm getting prepared for my mother-in-law who's going to be coming up. You know, she loved to come up to New York for the summer. So she'll be here Tuesday to Wednesday. But in the meantime, before, you know, while she's here, her and my wife is going to go to D.C. for a couple of days. So that's why, you know, she'll get a break from me. I'll get a break from her. We'll get a chance to recharge. And then we can, you know, spend our anniversary / my B-Day in Boston. So, you know, I'm just planning that. And what else, man? So that's pretty much it, man. You know what I'm saying? So young black entrepreneurs, you know what I'm saying? So just big shout out to all the people out there doing it and doing it in an abstract way. You know what I'm saying? Like, with this whole Twitter space thing, like, I've been really peeping how, like, the adult content artists, you know, the OnlyFans people, they out here doing it, getting it, man. And you know what I'm saying? Like I said, for our show that we do here, I always want to give a shout-out to the people that don't get shout-outs. And I like how they just doing it themselves, grassroots, you know what I'm saying, independent, you know what I'm saying. Of course, back in the day when we had, you know, adult entertainment, you know, was all mainstream for that, you know what I'm saying. You had to go to different companies and kind of do your things, and maybe you'd be a contract girl or contract guy, whatever the case may be. But the thing I do like about the OnlyFans is straight independence, just like music, you know what I'm saying. So music, you can go to a major label and, you know, they're going to put the machine behind you. But then if you can get your shit off independently, you know what I'm saying, you can really take up, man. So, you know, kind of just, you know, telling my week, you know, name of my week, young black entrepreneurs, cause I see that energy with that. So, you know, that's been my week.
It's all good. Long as on Tuesday nights don't take over Sunday nights.
Oh,
we Gucci.
Nah. Come on. You already know. Come on, man. Come on. Keeping it going.
We Gucci. Yeah, 5 years in, we got a long way to go.
We got
so
infinity. You know what I'm saying? Come on. You already know. You know my sign,
okay.
Right? You know what the line is.
So listen,
is,
y'all.
Loyalty is loyalty.
I ain't scrubbed the goddamn pool. I sprayed the pool. It's
okay.
Still some shit in the pool. I just threw the water in the pool. Fuck these kids, okay? So in about a couple of hours, the pool gonna be full. I'm done. The fuck? I ain't got time for this shit. What the fuck they do this at? Why? Why me? Fucking boy mom. And it ain't just my boys. They cousin here. for an infinite amount of time, and I'm just trying to make sure that they get enough stuff done so that they're not bothering me. So, man, listen.
What's up?
Boys are less expensive than girls. What is
I can see that.
Is
I can see that.
Annoying as shit.
Boys is rugged. You know, most boys are rugged. You know what I'm saying? I said most boys is rough and rugged. You know what I'm saying? So they, you know, they don't need as much maintenance as the girls. Most, I would say. Not all.
Yeah, well, you know, the good thing is now I don't have to take trash out anymore. Because they taking the trash out.
Nice.
And, you know, I got some some positive points about them and the age that they in right now. So
yeah.
I can't say it's all bad, but I can say I can't breathe. And I got eight to fuck up. But that's the stuff that you got to go through with these damn children.
Yeah.
Fuck. Listen, y'all, I can't breathe. I'm hot as shit. Listen, y'all know the movie Django? That's what I look like right now. And then I never tie my locks up. So they always just hanging everywhere. My locks go down well past my back. So just imagine how this situation looks right now.
Definitely
got to take a shower. But let's get into this topic. I'm back in the house. I would say by the time the radio, it's going to be like that. I'm going to go back out there about 11:30-ish to see if it's full. So guess what? Tomorrow they can go out the door. And they go out the door and say, Ma, it's dirt on the... Shut your ass up and get in, right? So the dirt going to settle and move around with the water sitting there. Then I dump it out in a couple of days. And they can spit swim with dirt. That's like swamp swimming, right? Right?
Hmm. What? Wait, hold on. What? I missed that.
They just swim with a little dirt. Dirt don't hurt. That's why people get. That's why these kids getting so sick. You know, we used to be outside playing in mud puddles and climbing up, you know, dirt mounds and all type of stuff when we was kids. No shoes on. Not everybody got to have shoes. Oh, my God, you can't get dirty. Man, listen, let these kids get exposed to dirt, especially if you're not getting them, you know,
then
these vaccines and all this stuff here.
Yo, it's funny you said that. I was talking to my homie who's like a brother to me, you know what I'm saying? A brother from another mother. But anyway, and, you know, we'd be outside just doing all types of shit, you know what I'm saying, just doing what boys do, you know what I'm saying, dirty and playing sports and all types of shit. And, then, you know, being young, I'm talking about, like, elementary school, right? And then you come in, and your mom's just like, all right, get ready to get a bath or, you know, a shower. It was bath back then, you know what I'm saying? And then you wondering why. Like, why? You know, as a boy, you're like, why I got to take it? You know, I'm good. I don't really start doing that.
I swear to God, when we was just at the hotel, we checked that Saturday morning, right? And it was a bunch of college kids there. And so these were like older college kids, like 18 and, you know, like 20, right? And, you know, I have an older son. He'll be 21 in August. And so the boy testosterone was smelling. And I said, man, these boys, they testosterone is like peaking. I'm a grown woman. I said, so these little girls, they be all up on them because the testosterone is standing out. But it really stink. It smell like musk in real life to a grown woman. And I said, these motherfuckers came out the door clean as hell, stinker than a motherfucker. They don't even give a fuck that they ain't take no bath. Like, nobody can smell them, right? I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
They turned up that damn elevator. You understand me? But I have a 21-year-old, so I understand wholeheartedly how that go when it comes to the boy tendency. So I let my boys go out. And mind you, it's been a very long time. What's happening, partner? I see you calling in. It's been a very long time since I was comfortable enough to let my kids go out. But my son, he go to school now, so he got all these friends in the neighborhood. And so they always in my damn yard, and somebody's always at my damn house, okay? And not that I don't mind it as long as they got home training. That be the part that makes me say, fuck you and your kids. Keep your kids at your house. The home training portion of it. So, like, their cousin that's here, I mean, he's very well trained. I mean, awesome sauce. He probably will be here for the rest of the summer. it's all good. He doesn't bother me. But it's the other ones that come and they see infinite snacks. One boy, he came seeing the snacks when he got his sister and his cousin, had them in here grabbing snacks. I said, if you don't get your motherfucking, where the fuck they do this shit at? Now he's banned from coming in my house, so he don't stay here. Like, can we go in the house and play the game? No, y'all got to stay outside because he can come, but now you got to stay outside because your ass don't know how to not eat. And I don't mind feeding you if you're hungry, but the snacks ain't what I'm trying to feed you. What my kids going to have, you know? But I digress, man. Listen, y'all train y'all kids when they go to people's house, man, because I definitely have a house full of them at all times during this damn summer. And I'm like, man, when the fuck is summer over? I don't remember summer being this long when I was in school. I'm just sorry. But
I remember. For me, at least.
Listen, I don't remember because I'm spending the money. Fuck you. How about that? Shit, that shit is expensive as fuck right now. Like, god damn. Well, we went, that was a $600 trip, and we was right up the damn road. I'm like, how the fuck did I spend $600 right up the goddamn road? Like, shit. Man. But, you know, it's all about a smile on their face, and that's why I work so hard. But speaking of these badass kids, right? Is it healthy to stay in a relationship just for the kids? Now, Mo, hashtag happily married man. We created the hashtag for Mo. Mo's happily married, been married over 15 years. He does not have
kids.
No,
wait, hold on. 15 ain't that been that damn long. Damn, Black.
Mo,
I got married in 2014.
So what has been, 13, Mo?
No, 2014. So that's what, 8. It'll be 8 years.
Okay, how long y'all been together?
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. You said married, though, so I had to, you know, I had to.
Same shit. That all counts.
No,
the fuck?
I told you.
You've been with this damn lady probably longer than 15 years. Wait a minute now. I hope she slapped the fuck out you because she listened to the show, y'all. She's been in the background. I hope she make his ass sleep on the couch. But we get our great marital advice from Mo, you know, how to make a marriage last, you know, understanding that breaks are good, so on and so forth.
Right.
But let's talk about it. Like, Mo don't have kids. If you've been listening to our show for a while, he actually explained why he does not have kids, right? Mm-hmm. And, Mo, I'll let you explain to them why you don't have kids. But I'm going to let you touch on the topic first, just to, you know, kind of get your opinion. Is it healthy to be with somebody just for the kids?
Ooh. All right, this is a fascinating topic because the show I'm watching kind of showcases this. So, and then, you know, I'm going to check you, you know, paint the picture out there for the listeners, like some personal type stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, okay, I'm going to say, so once again, tonight's topic is staying in a relationship for the kids healthy, okay? I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say no, because it all depends. So, like for example, right now I'm watching this show that's got me in the zone. It's called Ozark. Very good show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I slept on it for a minute. You know what I'm saying? But everything aligned, and I'm like, all right, bet I'm ready to watch this. You know what I'm saying? So, man, it's been like an awesome show. Big shout out to Jason Bateman. He's the dude that's, you know, he's the star and producer or whatever. But anyway, long story short, in Ozark. You know, I don't want to give it away for people just in case you want to see it. Excellent show. But basically, I can kind of relate to him because, like, he's a hustler, but he ain't thugged out or nothing like that. He, like, you know what I'm saying? He's real strategic with the way he do stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I like that about him. You know what I'm saying? He's always thinking he's a money guy. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, shit hit the fan. He get into some shit. And, you know what I'm saying? Then his wife get wrapped up in the shit too, you know what I'm saying? So, and they trying to make it work. At first, they trying to like keep the kids from knowing what the fuck they into, and then, you know, he figured out. I'm gonna just say this one part. He found out his wife was cheating, and then he like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So, and then, you know, they got a teenage daughter. They got two teenage kids. Like, the daughter was like, you know, the first thing, the daughter's probably like 16, and then the son is like 13. You know what I'm saying? So. So long story short, just seeing that, they're trying to keep it together for the kids. Because, you know, like once you have a family, once your kids get to of age, it's truly a family because now you can delegate family duties to, you know, one of your kids. You just said prime example how, you know, your two little guys, they coming up and now they can take out the garbage for you. So now that's less work for you. You know what I'm saying? And they doing man's work, you know what I'm saying? And kind of understanding that. So, you know, so when it comes to family like that, it's two functioning adults. And like I said, they can be into some shit, but as long as they function, meaning they're mentally stable, it's no violence and things of that nature where kids are seeing stuff that they should not be seeing, no drug activity and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? And they both doing what they need to do for the kids, and they realize that. So even if they're going through their whole, like, all right, I don't think I'm going to get a divorce because there's been some infidelities and stuff like that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we got kids and, you know, we raising them. We want to make sure that they just had a solid two-parent household. Then I think it's good. I think you should probably bite the bullet and kind of at least get your kids to out of high school, to college. You know what I'm saying? At least set them up with that. But, you know, it's not always like that. So, prime example, I was saying just some personal stuff. Like I told you, my pops, you know, I've documented, rest in peace to my pops. I'm glad we was able to get our relationship on the right track before he, you know, crossed over. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like my pops was bipolar. So he was dealing with some demons and stuff like that. So, and shout out to my mother for, like, really holding it down and, like, you know, just as my family unit, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that would have been helping, you know. Now I'm older, of course, so I can see it from an adult point of view. But I don't think that's sustainable to have, you know, if somebody's struggling with mental health or whatever, to have that, you know what I'm saying, energy around your young kids, you know what I'm saying? So at that point, then I think it's no. You know what I'm saying? I think you got to kind of cut ties into that person, get their stuff together. So, so that's my point of view on it. But, you know, definitely. So I'm eager to hear what you have to say on this topic.
All right. So y'all going to hit some water. Because Spirit made me get up and come scrub the goddamn water. Scrub the pool while I had water in it. Because I know that probably wouldn't have been the best thing. But you just touched on two awesome and valid points that I was going to touch on. So I'm glad that I let you go first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind, you cannot make anyone else happy if you are not happy within, right? So this is a relationship. Mo, you and I are in a relationship. I am not happy with you. We have children, but I don't want to love you. But you want me. You want to love me. So I'm sticking around for the sake of the kids so that they can see a happy relationship, right? That's raising your children on a false narrative, because they're going to grow up and they're going to be unhappy in a relationship, and they're going to stick around for the sake of having their children grow up. Do you see where the cycle doesn't end? See, the thing is that a lot of things that we know and we recognize are repeated patterns that we picked up from our parents. So when we talk about your children, having your children are a product of their environment, this is the same thing. Your children can sense that you're not happy. No matter how much you try to play it off, no matter how much you think you're being smart, as they grow up in the world, they're going to realize, hey, something is not right with my family, right? My family doesn't do what other people's family does. So why put yourself in a situation to be unhappy for the sake of your children, raising them in a false narrative, and then when they grow up, they're feeling like they're not doing what's supposed to be done because they've seen their parents in this family or in this situation. You understand me? You never, ever, I don't give a fuck. Like, your children choose you. And we talked about this before. You do not choose your children. You do not choose who you get to have children from. No matter what happens, you can get in the damnedest of situations. When that child chooses two parents, that's who the hell they're going to be. Period. That's who they're going to be.
Wait, hold on, Black. Don't lose your train of thought, but hold on. You just said your children choose you.
Your children choose you before they get here. They already choose who the hell they want their parents to be. So when I hear people say, oh, you should be careful about who you lay down with, and you lay down with this person, you lay down with that person, you don't know what a person's going to be like when you enter into a relationship with them versus having a children with them, because most of the time these people absolutely change because they feel like, oh, I got you now, bitch. You're stuck with me for the rest of your life. And so therefore the energy changes when you actually have a child with somebody, energy changes just about most of the time. So the thing is just that some people stay in these situations because they like, okay, I'm going to do it for the kids. They unhappy. They can't trust the motherfucker, but they doing it for the kids. Super false narrative, because at the end of the day, you're supposed to, and that's just even in regular relationships as well. You got somebody that you were supposed to be with, you know, for a time, and you're holding on to a relationship while this person is going through their karma, and now you're miserable as hell. This person is going through their karma. You don't want to leave them, but the situation is not making you happy. That's the downfall to that. We do not know how to put ourselves first. Your happiness matters before anybody else's happiness in this world. So a relationship just to keep the kids happy when they already gonna know that this some bullshit is bullshit. As long as you take care of your children, that's your obligation, to take care of your children. Your obligation is not to stay with somebody for the sake of your children. It's not.
I can see that. That's the point. Like I said,
your happiness is important.
I'm leaning on you.
Your happiness is important for you to be able to live a full life. Your happiness is important to your children, right, to see that you're happy. I don't know where they came up with this narrative. This is white people narrative. This is not our narrative. You do not have to be with somebody just because you have children with them. That's not how it aligns. And when we get that, we're going to have a lot more happier kids.
Well, you know what? So we're going to talk about it. This is real talk. You know what I'm saying? And so you was asking me, or you were explaining when we get into the topic, like, why I don't have kids. So it's not why I don't have kids. I just, you know, I'm not in that space where I want to have that, I guess, quote-unquote, sacrifice just yet. So what you just said was really interesting to me, because I'm of the narrative, and maybe this is conditioning, you know what I'm saying? Because every day, you know, I'm unlearning, relearning certain things as I, you know, gain more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But, you know, I was of the impression that, you know, when you have kids, you want to kind of sacrifice so they can be better than you. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if I'm ready to make that sacrifice just yet. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's, you know, and psychology-wise, maybe that's why, if I'm just really putting myself on the couch. So I guess I have that mentality because, you know, once I have kids, like, I want the best for them. I'm going to want the best for them. And then, like, so even if I got to sacrifice, quote-unquote, some happiness to see my kids happy, and then, like, it's easier said than done because I don't have it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to come off like that. But I'm just, you know, I'm still just speaking my thoughts from my perspective of how maybe I would see it, you know, because things could change. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But at this point, I would think that I would want to make a sacrifice once I get to make sure that they can come up and, you know, and people always, and I think the false narrative too, the narrative that gets put around, like, I want my kids to have things I didn't have. No, I don't think that's the right way to look at it. You should, you know, have your kids. Damn, it was a good point that I was trying to make. I kind of forgot it, but I read it somewhere and it just hit me. But it's basically something it's more about, like, teaching, you know what I'm saying? Teaching them certain things and not, you know, come up with material items. Yeah, it's kind of, and I'm kind of messing it up. It was like a dope quote that really just kind of like, pinpoint what I'm trying to say. But
I'm just going to tell you, I teach my kids the shit that I didn't know. I teach the kids, my kids, the shit that I was not exposed to. Your kids gonna always have what you didn't have because technology is forever evolving. Life is evolving. But I teach my children to be humble. So every single thing that the kids got, they're not finna get. You're gonna have what you need. You know what I'm saying? And my kids have a whole lot more than regular kids, right? But you have to earn it. So it ain't about me giving them shit. It's about them earning they keep, so that when they grow up, they realize ain't shit given to you. You got to earn it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't really, you know, and look, I don't want to come off this because I like where you at with this. I don't like that word humble no more, though. I like gratitude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely, you should be thankful and gratitude, but humble to me now, that's just making you docile. You know what I'm saying? Nah, you want it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like I said, what? And maybe that's my spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, like, I'm, you know, I'm supposed to have this. You know what I'm saying? Like, but at the same time, I'm thankful. So yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I guess when it comes to, you know, kids, definitely that's what I was really trying to say. You want to teach your kids things. And then you just made a great point, because that's an old school mentality. Like, I want to give kids things that I never had. But that was more from our parents' generation. Now, like you said, with technology and everything's evolving, of course they're going to have things we didn't have, because it's a different world that we have now than we did, you know, shit, 10, 20 years ago, especially 20 years ago. But shit, this damn near changed with social media and everything, technology, even 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you know, things is changing rapidly. So you definitely got to evolve. But the other point I was just trying to make is, though, you know, at the same time, you know, look, and maybe, like I said, this is just from my perspective. There's no judgment, because life changes, life evolves, things get real, people get relationships, you know what I'm saying, and they just don't work out, and you still got to tread on, you know what I'm saying? And shout out to all the mothers out there and all the fathers, but especially the mothers, because, you know, I'm a mama's boy, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be honest, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad I got masculine tendencies and all that, you know what I'm saying, because I had strong male figures in my life at all times since I was young, so I have that. But at my core, you know, I'm a mama's boy, you know what I'm saying? So a relationship with a mother is just special, because you came from her body, you know what I'm saying? Of course, yeah, we put the seed in you, but y'all was nourished through the mother, so, you know what I'm saying, you always going to have that connection to your mother no matter what, especially boys, I think, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, well, at least from my perspective. So I just think that two-parent household is important as far as our community, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that's what's lacking, you know. And like I said, I'm just talking about us right now as Black Americans, you know what I'm saying? I just think the two-parent household is definitely missing, you know what I'm saying? And that's the part where I think you do got to kind of sacrifice a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know I could be truly happy living my best life, but I can't be doing mad shit, you know what I'm saying, living my best life because, you know, certain things, and a lot of times the materialistic things, you know what I'm saying, or whatever just makes me happy and stuff like that, and then my kids is not having that, you know what I'm saying? Not to say that anybody is doing that. Well, people are doing that, so let's speak about it, you know what I'm saying? So that's, I think, when it's wrong. So I think you do got to kind of sacrifice so you can, you know, bring your kids up in that right environment. And I think a two-family household is very important. I can't, you know, I just think, you know what I'm saying? And look, and of course, we can take it back to, you know, because I always do research on a lot of things I'm talking about and just seeing different things. So, you know, I know, all right, so look, I'm gonna try to get deep a little bit. I wish Smooth would. I can't wait till Smooth comes back in, man, because Smooth always comes with different perspective, man. So I hope he's doing well, you know what I'm saying? Hope to see him back on the show next week, hopefully. But anyway, I say that to say this. I know Smooth has something to say with what I'm about to say. So when it comes to, like, just Africa, you know what I'm saying, just things I'm seeing, like, of course, you know, the male there, you know what I'm saying, is going to be the dominant figure. So he's going to have, and I think as the Black male, it's in our nature to have different poly kind of relationships where you have a family with this one, a family with this one, a family with this one, you know what I'm saying? And that, and you just, you know, but you need to be, you need to be able to handle that, you know what I'm saying? You need to, if you're going to have these different families, you need to be, you know, spiritually, financially, and everything, able to handle these different families that you have, you know what I'm saying? And I think Smooth is a perfect example of that.
I'm gonna stop you right there. Because I got a whole tribe. There's no way that you can be ready. So when I see y'all people that be like, I need to have this and I need to have that. Okay, quick update. I was rinsing out the damn pool and it started raining hard. Okay, fuck these kids for real. Shut my door. Man, I'm over this shit. Okay. I was out there cleaning out the pool, hard down at work. And then it started pouring down raining. But there's no way that you are going to be prepared for a child. I was not prepared for any of my children. But when I got them, I got prepared, right? There's no way, because people feel like they can plan this out and say, okay, everything is already written. So when you sit back and say, okay, I'm going to have a child with this person right now, that don't happen all the time. That's why you got so many people going to these fertility banks and all of that stuff, because you're doing something out of alignment. That wasn't aligned. That wasn't in your destiny. That's why they catch hell after they have these kids and they do all of this stuff, because it was not aligned with their destiny. When you got to go to a sperm bank or IVF, look, I know what y'all want. I love it. I hear it. But if it doesn't happen naturally, it's outside of your destiny. Just like this medicine that they give you in the United States does not have any cures that's not going to fuck you up even more, and it's very minimal. None of this shit is natural here. So when you have to go in a line to get stuff done, because this is what you want, you're going outside of alignment, man. Let's talk on a spiritual level. Let's talk facts. You cannot, you don't know what position you're going to be in. But I assure you, being a good parent, you're going to put yourself in position. You're going to get ready, right? And when you have these kids, that's going to motivate you to want more, to do more. You understand me? Now, I'm not saying to be in the energy of, oh, I got it all, and I don't need nobody, and this is that other, and be quick to cut somebody off. No. You know, me and my oldest son, Dad, that's my homie right now. I call that man, he going to answer the phone. If he don't answer, he going to call me back. We can sit on the phone for hours and chop it up. Our son about to be 21. You understand me? Like, if that man needed something, to save his life, I will be there and do everything that I can. That's my homie. You know, we was together for 7 years. It didn't align, but I understood. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, it wasn't aligned for us to be together. He did what he did in that moment, and I realized what I did in that moment. You know, my youngest son's father, he's a famous rapper, right? I have to understand that his journey right now and what requires of him, what is required of him, you know, doesn't completely align with where I want to be. You understand me? So, therefore, we cannot be a family, but there's no hate on my end, you know, in reference to that, right? But what happened was supposed to happen. We were supposed to have a child together. And I don't take that from him. And that's probably why people be like, you give him so much leeway, you do this, you do that. But we was aligned to be with each other. We didn't choose this. We didn't sit down and be like, okay, let's have a baby together. No, and I think that's where the frustration comes from our queens, our melanated queens, is because we like, we didn't plan this and it happened and now you want to act like a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case may be. It is a certain amount of frustration there. But you have to move past that frustration and realize that it's something greater than you and your co-parent in the mix, and that's the child. And you have to do what's best for the child and trust the process that spirit is going to align you to do what's best for the child. Now, if you own your shit, you're not going to have to sacrifice nothing. If you already doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you already getting to the bag, if you already, your life is already aligned, yeah, you know, your schedule is going to change. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to fit right in. Do you know every single child that I have for the first year, when I get to a certain point in my pregnancy, I buy all of their shit up for the first year. That's about $2,100. That's when you a parent and you're not living for the Joneses and you're not out here trying to get this name brand this and this title that. You going right there to Walmart or Target and you getting everything that your child needs for the first year. Cases and cases of diapers, your wipes, your onesies, your blankets, your powders, your lotions, your bottles, your watch. You getting all that stuff for the first year. $2,100. I done did it a few times. Trust me, I know. So when you look at the thing, you could put $2,100 up, you know what I'm saying, by the time this baby get here and you got 10 months to put $2,100 up, Brody, that's $200 a month. Now, if you can't put aside $200 a month, you shouldn't be fucking altogether. So I think we look deeper into the aspect of children than it has to be, because you can't really plan this shit unless you with your life partner, how you and your wife's story, you know, came about. If y'all sit down and say, okay, we're going to have a child, I believe that it will happen for you because it's in the cards. You know, you met your wife early on, and it aligned for you. You know what I'm saying? But how many people really have the story that you and your wife have? Not a lot. So when you do have those stories, you see those people that they go and they create these kids, and, you know, they live it in XYZ, that's a lie. But most people don't have that story. So when you look at the fact of talking about children are costly and you got to be together and you got to sacrifice and this, that, other, the only reason you sacrifice is because your shit ain't together. You see, right now, I'd be like, fuck these kids. I mean, I sacrificed time. You know, I just sat out there and did all this shit with this fool and came in here. Just came in here and got this goddamn brush and went out there scrubbing and it started raining. Okay? That's a sacrifice. Ow. Sacrifice. I just sacrificed my time, right?
Yeah.
You know, I have to cuss their ass out. You know what I'm saying? I tell the motherfucker, I don't have to hit my kids in real life. Not for real. I'm the parent. I'm gonna cuss their ass out. Guess what? You're gonna get results, and then boom, we moving on. I ain't have to put no hands on them. There was no violence. You understand me? You have people, oh, don't yell at your children. Don't cuss at your children. Man, fuck these kids. You're gonna have to cuss these motherfuckers out from time to time. You know, I don't feel like you should be beating on your kids all the time. You want somebody beating on you? You know what I'm saying? So, no, I mean, it's not what people think when it comes down to children. It's not like that. It's going to fit in automatically, right? You know, spirit ain't going to put nothing on you that you can't bear. So when I hear these things, you know, that falls under the premise to unlearn and relearn. You're going to make shit happen for your children. You know, you got to go to work anyways unless you a bum. And you're like, oh, nah, I got to go to work all the time. I done had your ass. Like, yeah, I can see that, but no.
Yeah. So,
it's not,
I mean,
what these people make it seem. And like I told you, I got a squad of them. And it is what it is.
That's dope. No, that's dope. That's dope. Like, I love your situation because we were just talking about Erykah Badu. You know what I'm saying? Erykah Badu is like the perfect example how she got, you know, different baby fathers, but it all works. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's aligned to the ones that she was supposed to have. But all I was just trying to say is this, and I think, you know, that's why we are the way we are as far as black folks, even being in America, because, like I said, if we just go back to Africa, you know, that's kind of how it is in a way. So, but the point is, though, but here's the flip side to this. Just with America, like the soil that we at here, you know what I'm saying? I just think, and once again, this is my personal perspective, whatever everybody's perspectives, but I think a two-family household is, you know, like I said, that's not in the cards for a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? But I just think, you know what I'm saying, to have that mother and have that father in the household raising that child, I just think it's just more nutritional, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's what you think. Yeah, I would love to raise my children in a two-family household. My last son, father, that's what he wanted. That's what he feel like should happen. But if we don't get along, I'm not going to compromise my happiness for that. You know what I'm saying? Because I still got to be happy. What good am I going to be to my children, to my seeds, right? I'm a goddess. I created life. What good am I going to be to them if I'm not happy with the other parent? No, we got to do whatever we got to do, you know. You're going to know mama love you. You're going to know daddy love you. I don't talk bad to my son about his daddy at all, you know. Like, I wouldn't do that. But we don't work in the same household.
Yeah.
And I just got to call a spade. You think I give a fuck? You know, how many baby daddies you got? That'd be a question. And I always answer that question rogue like fuck. I got four baby daddies. I got five baby daddies. How many kids you got? Two? I got more than two kids, and I damn sure they got five baby daddies. But what difference does that make, how many baby daddies I got? You know how old I am right now? I have a life where shit happens. So you trying to figure out if I'm vulnerable, if I'm insecure, or anything like that. Because more than likely, you got somebody that got three and five children by one person, and then they're not with them because they just decided to stick with that one person and have all their kids from that person, knowing that it wouldn't work so that they could look a certain way in somebody else's eyes. I don't give a fuck about these people in their motherfucking eyes. You're going to get these messages. I'm going to be spiritually in tune, and that's just what it is. But I'm not staying with nobody for these motherfucking kids. That's just not gonna happen.
Okay, so
they, and they ain't missing a beat, and they got more than majority of these kids in a two-family household.
So once again, tonight's topic is staying in a relationship for the kids healthy. So you say no.
Hell no. All right, caller, what is your opinion on this? He must have put the phone down.
All right, so yeah.
All right, so he put the phone down, but no. Hell no, it's not healthy, man, because it's not happy. You know, and health is wealth. You know what I'm saying? That's broke bitch behavior. Whether y'all know it or not, y'all following a trend of somebody, because these white folks that y'all see that stayed in these families till their kids get 16 or 18, they got a side bitch on the side. They just, oh, okay, we living a life. Then your child grow up resenting you in their adult life because you done left their mama by their goddamn self trying to figure out goddamn life. You know what I'm saying? And all along, you weren't even with their mama. You was already doing what you're doing. Stop lying to these kids, man. That's why kids grow up lost and in a facade, because you're lying to your kids. You're trying to make them feel like something that life is something that it ain't. When you actually, that's why you got so many woke people. You're raising sheep. When you're trying to lie to your kids and make them feel like life is something that it's not, you're raising sheep. You're raising them to follow a trend that you feel like is secure, or that you feel like, oh, you didn't have your parents, so you want your kid to feel like they got a parent, but yet they see that you miserable as fuck, and they see that you angry as fuck, and they resent you because they feel like you got an anger problem, and then they're going to go get a man or a woman that's just like you because this is what they're used to. Will you stop lying to your kids? You're going to be better off, and you're going to raise better kids.
Yeah, well, you know what? And that's why this whole abortion topic is very interesting to see how the...
And I love it, because guess what? Guess what? It's called accountability. And we got to start making these motherfuckers take accountability. People don't have accountability for shit in the world. People do not stand in their own motherfucking power for shit. They always looking for somebody else to blame. Oh, it was slavery. Do you know how many millionaires that Donald Trump created and you still talking about slavery? Do you know how many motherfuckers out here that's busting their ass and still not having to worry about a dollar, and you still talking about slavery? You still talking about the white man, but guess what? It's the black man, because you don't have any compassion, you don't have any love, and you don't have any accountability. So you can't stand in your own power. Listen, every child born is an ancestor returned. So when you crying by missing your mama, your papa, and your great-grandma and your cousin and all of them, you killing them with an abortion. If you know that this person is somebody that you don't want to have a child with, then put a rubber on or don't sleep with them. And that's just the bottom fucking line. But they needed to do something, because guess what? It's not an our problem. It's not a carbonated being problem. It's a motherfucking white problem. 60% of abortions are done from white people. That's why it's such a big issue. That's why they're keeping it in the news, because they're not fucking up us. They fucking up them. They understand that it goes deeper than this. Right now, the white race, right, which is a blank canvas, right? White is blank canvas. The white race is on the verge of becoming the minority, because it is not enough of them being born. And it is plenty of us still being born. It's not enough of them being born. They had to overturn the law. And now they mad as fuck that you finna make them have these children. It's not enough white people, not enough white babies being born. They are on verge of becoming the minority. They put black people in the news for killing each other and so on and so forth. White folks are dying faster than black folks, and we killing each other from drug overdoses and suicide. But they don't talk about that. This is why they're forcing them to do something. When you force a white person to do something, you come up with this whole shit like the mask. These people going in Walmart, fuck you, I don't have to wear a mask, I'm American. No, you're not, bitch. You're European. But at the end of the day, whenever you force a white person to do something, then this is this whole thing. This is not a black issue. Now, the 40% of you black bitches that can't motherfucking keep your legs closed or sleeping with people, man, and all of that shit, there, well, take accountability for what the fuck you're doing. Stop having abortions. This is the bottom line. You can't have them now. I'm proud that they overturned the law. Take accountability for your action.
Well, yeah. So the point that I was just trying to say, so the ripple effect that I see happening is now you really, you know, if you're going to have sex with this person, now it's more sex education, you know, needs to be there. Because you're knowing, like, damn, if I do have this, you know what I'm saying? If she do get pregnant, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to have it, you know what I'm saying? Unless we go through all these hoops to get out of it, you know, flying to another state where it's legal and stuff like that. So, you know,
now,
I
and somebody
that,
said, should the man be held accountable if he don't want to have a child? Fucking right, because you shouldn't have slept with her. Stop sleeping with people that you don't motherfucking. If you can't see yourself raising a child, don't sleep with them. Keep your dick in your pants. It's called accountability. So y'all going to get enough. And then they just said it's 30 cases of the monkeypox in Georgia right now. So this motherfucking shit is spreading like wildfire. And guess who it's going to touch? It's going to touch the married women, right? Monkeypox is from allegedly, you know, the gay men. That's where it all stirred up from over there in Europe with the gay men at a gay thing, and then it's spreading like wildfire, right? So how it's going to come to the women is that there's these women, they got down low men. They got men that like men, and they're not being honest. And you got a woman at home, but you're still sleeping with these men without rubbers, and now you done gave your wife the monkeypox, and then it's going to spread. That's why I'm just sitting my – look, no. No, I tell him, no, be careful out there. Because you come bring me back anything, I'm going to beat your brains in. And I'm gonna sit there with a fucking Ronald McDonald smile on my mugshot. What you going to do? Well, give me some time. Domestic violence, I'll take it. Bitch, I got domestic violence tendencies. I don't know what the fuck these people talking about. You can't take no motherfucking sponsorship from me. I'm going to beat a bitch ass, you bring me something. And that's just what it is.
Go, hey. You know,
so at the end of the day, we gotta be held accountable, and that's just so important. Like that, I salute the bill, you know. But I know the origin of the bill. I know the origin of why they turned it over. You know what I'm saying? The white folks are about to be a minority, and if the white folks turn to be minority, then that means that who is the majority? The black folks. And they can't let that happen. Even though they can't control it, they're fighting. They're fighting their ass off trying to keep this under control. They're fighting their ass off. This is why they over there in war. Do you know that Putin supported Africa? So they know the power of Putin. That's why they making this seem like Putin is such a bad person. But Putin is the motherfucking man. Putin is the man. Putin is fighting for freedom. Putin is fighting to free land and get land back that they took from him. But they're going to give you the false narrative on what's going on over there. These people are fighting a spiritual war that's well beyond a lot of things that we know. But all of this shit is a triple effect of what's happening right now with the spiritual war. We are in the age of Aquarius. We will not have another great awakening for like 25,000 years, 2,500 years, I think. 2,500 years, we will not have another great awakening as we are having now. So educate yourself before you start jumping on the bandwagon with these white folks. Any Democrat, anything that a Democrat is going against, I'm going for it. The Democrats are not made for us. That's why they're so mad with what's happening right now. All over. Wow. Spiritual. All right. Yeah. So that's all that I had to say, man. We're going to jump into the world famous chop up. We are in the last 30 minutes of the show. It's pretty gratitude to everybody that tuned in all over the world, over 30 countries. We 5 years in, man. We don't plan on stopping. That's it. That's it for me, Mo. It's your show now.
So for the people out there, you know what I'm saying, this is my favorite part of the show. This is the world famous chop up. So for anybody who's new to the show, this is the part of the show where I get a chance to talk my shit on certain things that I just thought was interesting. So, you know, before I get into some topics that I have, you know what I'm saying, let me ask Black. So Black, this past week, was there anything that you was like tripping on?
No, because I haven't even been on news. I haven't been watching nothing, honestly. So I have nothing.
All right. So with that being the case, so the first topic I'm going to touch on is kind of like close to heart for me. So I'm kind of analyzing where this is going to go. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a I'm a fan of both somewhat. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, Elon Musk and Twitter. I'm a big fan of Twitter. You know what I'm saying? That's my favorite social club. You know what I'm saying? I fucks with Twitter. You know what I'm saying? You got Twitter, you got IG. You know what I'm saying? And you got those are the two that I rock with. You know, IG. You know, I like IG for what it is, but I'm a Twitter person at heart. That's the club I like to kick it at. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, it was in the news that Elon Musk. You know, I became somewhat of a fan of Elon Musk in his last, I don't know, few years or whatever, because I started just hearing, really learning about the stuff he's into, and you know, he's the world richest man, and you know, and the whole Tesla, you know what I'm saying? He, you know, kind of turned that into what we have now, you know, with the electronic cars. They kind of like set the tone for where the car industry is going. And then, you know, SpaceX, a big, you know what I'm saying? You know, this whole Mars thing fascinates me. You know what I'm saying? I think in our lifetime that, you know, we're hopefully in my lifetime before, you know, before things switch up, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, you know, I'll see somebody in Mars or whatever. You know, I would like to see that, even though it probably is people already there for all we know. But anyway, I say that to say this. I was pumped up to hear that Elon Musk was going to buy Twitter, because I just thought it was like a perfect match. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, Elon Musk is innovative. You know, Twitter's very been innovative for me, and, you know, the things that I'm into and the things I like to learn about, you know, communicating with different people and, you know, the platform that it is. So I'm like, oh, it's a perfect match. And, you know, so I thought that, you know, once Elon Musk really tied his name to it, I was like, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? So, and then all of a sudden, like, I keep talking about this whole Twitter Spaces that I'm seeing that take off. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be great. But now, within the last couple of days, Elon Musk supposedly withdrew his bid. So, you know, basically it seemed like it was supposed to be a done deal, $44 billion. But I just tell you the influence that Twitter has. This guy, he was, you know, willing to pay $44 billion. I mean, just think about how much money that is, $44 billion. That's a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? You can't even imagine how much money. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, long story short, started doing a little bit of research. I'm like, damn, what the hell is going on? So a couple things that I kind of uncover. One is, all right, so now just to paint this picture out there, so long if the deal doesn't go through, Elon Musk in the clause or the contract or whatever they were about to, you know, including in the deal, if whatever reason the deal falls through, he will still have to give Twitter $1 billion. So if nothing else, if the shit falls through and Elon Musk does not purchase Twitter, Twitter still makes $1 billion because, you know, all the litigation, I think, you know, that went forth, you know what I'm saying? So they owed that. So now I'm like, damn, so why doesn't he want to buy Twitter anymore? So a couple of theories is coming out there. The main theory that's been pushed out there as far as the narrative is Elon Musk apparently was saying, I need to know how many fake Twitter accounts there is. I need to know how many bots they are. You know what I'm saying? How many of these, like, just like, you know, accounts with no avatar, and you can't really, you know, you see them every so often, accounts with no avatar, a bunch of numbers or whatever, and, you know, so he wanted to know. So apparently the people from Twitter was like, oh, it's like 5%, you know what I'm saying? It's just how social media get down. You're going to have the spam kind of things or whatever. And supposedly they sent him certain things, but Elon Musk said it wasn't sufficient enough for him to do it, and so that's where the riff is. So now people are saying, like, damn, that's really what it is? Like, you really sending somebody off to you know, you want to get people on Mars and doing and all this stuff, and you can't figure out the box, you know, especially if they're telling you it's 5%. So this has a whole, I said this word, this is going to be like maybe one of my words that we'll be bringing to the show, the ripple effect, because I think we're like in a time where like a lot of things that's happening right now is going to have a ripple effect, meaning years down the line, you know what I'm saying, it's going to have some influence on what's happening. So one of the ripple effects that I already see from this whole called Twitter, will he buy or will he won't buy, is Donald Trump. So shout out to you, Black, because you was telling me that Trump has been campaigning, and I was like, you know what, I'm a more of an organic news person. So, you know, I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to say certain news. I'm going to attract it. So in, you know, researching this whole Elon Musk Twitter situation, I came across that Trump is campaigning. So a couple of days ago, he was in Alaska. And basically, Trump lashed out at Elon Musk and said, yo, man, that was a rotten shit. Like how the hell you step up, like you're going to buy this platform, and then you all of a sudden now you want to renege on a deal. Like, who does that? So Trump bashed Elon Musk, and I think why is because Trump is like, fuck, dude, I'm thinking you getting this shit on point. So when I do run back in 2024, I'm back on Twitter doing my Trump shit. You know what I'm saying? And now you fucking that shit up. So that's the ripple effect right there. So Trump is basically like, fuck Elon Musk now. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Trump's got his own social site. You know, I haven't checked it out yet. It's called Truth Social Site. So, you know what I'm saying? So I haven't got it. And once again, I'm not going to chase anything. I'm going to attract. So if the time is right, if everything aligned, then, you know, I'll check it out. But as of right now, you know, I haven't got a chance to check it. This is the first time I actually was able to read it and see that it's actually called that. So, but, you know, I think Trump is banking on, like, fuck, man, dude, you're supposed to buy Twitter. I'm supposed to get, because, you know, Trump is banned from Twitter because of the whole, what was it, the January 6th, you know, I guess, apparent, you know, D.C. takeover or whatever the case may be. So that's one ripple effect that I see with this. And then, so this is not going to go anywhere. This is only getting started because basically there is going to be Twitter is going to sue Elon Musk if he doesn't do this deal. So, and one of the things as I was researching this, this guy named Brett Taylor, who's I guess is on the board of Twitter, was basically saying the Twitter board is committed to closing the transaction on the price and terms agreed upon with Mr. Musk and plans to hold on, let me just make sure I'm reading it correctly. And plans to pursue legal action to enforce the merger agreement. We are confident we will prevail in a Delaware court of chancery. So, yeah, man. So this is going to be it's just getting started, man. So I'm going to keep the people posted as this story progresses. You know, I wanted to go through, man. I'm like, come on. Oh, and then the other part is, you know, like I said, I've been on my financial shit, man. I've been learning different terms and things of that nature. And, you know, stocks, I haven't been really messing with the stock market. I was eager to see what, you know, what Smooth's been up to. But I know Smooth, you know, always saying, you know, every so often he's making a shitload of money, you know what I'm saying, from the stock market. And I'm just like, you know, I wonder how he thinks that or where he's at right now with the stock market or whatever, because it's definitely been down. I haven't even been checking it. But the thing, and I keep putting this out there because I and maybe I'm speaking it into existence because I know I got to get on point with that, especially when the stocks is low and shit ain't popping. Options is the way to go. You know what I'm saying? And I've learned it. I got it on my app that I use. You know what I'm saying? As far as my stock shit, you know, my Robinhood. You know, I can get it on Thinkorswim, but I still just haven't had time to really just master it to do an options deal yet. But I say all that to say this, the other part that I'm hearing about why all of a sudden Elon Musk wants to come out of the deal is because I guess he's seeing, trying to figure out how he can monopolize, because I think he's going to take it private, and then, you know, how am I going to make money? Because, you know, Twitter, you know, you have advertisements, but it ain't $44 billion worth of advertisements. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how that is. I mean, it's really like an innovative site just to for people to just be able to conversate. And that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's a conversational site. So, you know, when you start to try to monetize it and make money from it, that's when it fucks up. You know, right now it's just a very organic place where you can go and just network. And that's why I really am a huge fan of Twitter. That's my favorite club to kick it at. You know what I'm saying? Social media. But anyway, so the stock price has been low or whatever. And now it seems like he might be getting cold feet because he was expecting the stock prices to go up. And so that would help, you know, leverage the deal and, you know, put money with the deal, you know, the $44 billion, you know, it's rich talk. You know what I'm saying? There's all types of little angles you can do to make the money work or whatever, especially when you got that much money. So, but apparently his, what was it, Tesla? Yeah, he had Tesla options, like $7 billion, if I'm not mistaken. worth of options that he had to sell because they was going to expire. So if you know anything about options, you know, when you have an option, you have to sell it before it expires, because if it expires before you've sold the option, then that option turns into a stock price. And option price is a fraction of what the stock price is. So, you know, if you got a fraction of the cost and now all of a sudden it goes past it, now you got all those options that you have converted to shares, and that's where you can get into a world of trouble. So basically, with him selling these options, he was able to make, because, you know, when this came out, this was all while this was in litigation as far as the deal and the terms. But so Twitter's lawyers, they're going to be lawyered up. They're going to bring this to the table. That's why I'm fascinated with this. But basically, it was covered up that, you know, he was, you know, selling his options at the time of the Twitter deal, because everybody's talking about the whole Twitter deal. But on the back end, he's selling his options, and he's making $7 billion. From selling the options. I think he already sold it because it was going to expire. So now he sold the options of Tesla, $7 billion. And so now, even if he has to pay the $1 billion to Twitter, he still profited $6 billion, you know what I'm saying? And he's not paying the 40, because remember, it's $44 billion. So he's up another $6 billion, you know, just making money for you or whatever. So that's the thing where Twitter, you know, is, if they have the right lawyer to really, you know, articulate that, you know, they got a strong case. And then the other thing was, Twitter's lawyers are saying, like, look, what type of shit, like, you know, you need to be this deal because we're giving you information, inside information, that we'll only give to a person that's have the intent of buying. So we gave you, like, all our data and secret shit that we don't just give people, you know what I'm saying? So they're like, yo, how you not going to do the deal? You guys bringing all our analyzation of the bots to find what the fake accounts and all that shit is. So, you know, it's kind of tangled up. So I'm just eager to see, you know, where that's going to go in the coming months, man. But big shout out to Twitter, man. I just hope it doesn't, whatever happens, I just hope the app just keeps being the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, so that's that. That's what I had to speak on that. Now, as far as those that's in the news, let me see what else I want to get into. I'm going to get into the sports report really quickly. Well, before I get into the sports report, I'm going to do a quick album review. It's been a little bit of a slow summer, you know what I'm saying, as far as music. Like I told you, it's been a summer of R&B for me, you know what I'm saying? Hold Your Head, R. Kelly. But, you know, I've been rocking to some, because I like my old school R&B, you know what I'm saying? I like my late 80s. 90s R&B, you know what I'm saying? I'm one of those type of people. Most people be like that with rap music, but, you know, I like a lot of the new rap music. I ain't gonna lie, but I like all rap music. But when it comes to my R&B, I'm a little bit more, you know what I mean? Like, I like Miguel. I was trying to think of his name last week when we was finishing out the show. You know what I'm saying? As far as the new guys or whatever, but I really like my old school R&B. So, you know, with that being the case, you know, as far as just new music, it's been a little slow. I mean, of course, Kendrick Lamar, he dropped in, June? So he made some noise, you know what I'm saying? It's a good album, you know what I'm saying? I kind of put it on the shelf for now, but I was rocking with it for a minute. But other than that, you know, it really hasn't been nothing to drop. So I can't wait for the Armani Caesar. You know, shout out to Griselda, and I'm going to get into the Griselda album that I'm going to talk about. But I'm waiting for Armani Caesar. You know, she's the first lady of Griselda. You know, she dropped Liz. I'm waiting for this Liz 2 album. Like, I thought it would have dropped by now. But anyway, so hopefully that's coming soon. So that's one of the anticipated albums I've just been personally, like, looking forward to hearing. Like to hear them females talk their shit, you know what I'm saying? And to me, right now, she's in a prime position to really have some listeners with whatever she's going to say on this next album. So I'm eager to see where she's going to go. But speaking of Griselda, the album that I'm rocking to that dropped this past Friday at midnight was West Side Gun. So, you know, he's one of definitely my favorites, man. Definitely just innovative. But West Side Gun, he dropped Peace, Fly God. Then I always say, you know, he gave me definitely an affirmation, man. Like, Fly God is an awesome God. You know what I'm saying? I say that constantly because that's what it is. That's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? I'm comedic. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, so he dropped Peace, Fly God, and awesome. You know what I'm saying? I like it. It took me a little minute to get into it, you know what I'm saying, because I love very abstract, you know what I'm saying? That's just like his niche now, the abstractness, you know what I'm saying? Used to get a lot of that kind of abstractness with RZA, but, you know, RZA seemed like he ain't really into music like he used to. Definitely he's not into music like the way he used to. Peace to, you know, Wu-Tang when they was on point. But now, you know, West Side Gun is kind of taking that baton. And I really like this cat, Stove God Cooks. You know, of course, West Side Gun, you know, he put on Benny the Butcher, you know what I'm saying, who, you know, a lot of people like, you know, street rap, you know what I'm saying, that whole cocaine street rap. And then, you know, Conway the Machine is another one he put on. Conway, you know, he got the twisted face, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, Conway's ill. But now he's got a new guy, man, Stove God Cooks. And, you know, he's been showcased on his album. He was on, what's the other one? Hitler Wears Hermes. He's got some ill names. I mean, Hitler Wears Hermes. But Hitler Wears Hermes, what was it, 8? Yeah, Hitler Wears Hermes 8 was when I really kind of started really pay attention to Stove God Cooks. And he's been showcased really on his new album by West Side Gun. Like I said, once again, it's called Peace Fly God. But anyway, it's reminiscent of how I love when an established artist puts a new artist on, and then they take that baton and they shine with it. You know what I'm saying? So one that comes to mind that people would know, when Dr. Dre dropped The Chronic, right? Nobody had really heard of Snoop Dogg. You know, he had a song on a Deep Cover soundtrack. But Snoop Dogg became a superstar, you know, once he got on The Chronic album. That just set the tone for his career moving forward. And Dr. Dre put him in position. So that's what I see what West Side Gun is doing with Stove God Cooks. Another scenario that comes to mind where it was a similar situation was another one of my favorite albums, Raekwon, speaking of Wu-Tang, Raekwon's Only Built for Cuban Links, that really showcased Ghostface. And that set the tone for Ghostface in his career. So I think with this whole, you know, these last couple of albums that I've seen, Stove God Cooks, I think is going to really set him up for his career, you know what I'm saying? So big shout out to West Side Gun. Yeah, I like it all. It's short and sweet, man, all the way through. Chops it up, you know what I'm saying? The beat, I think the beats, a few songs produced by Madlib. You know, he's a producer out of Cali or whatever, abstract type producer. But definitely gets the Mo Benz rap radio seal of approval, man. So I definitely got that in heavy rotation. So that's that. Earlier today, I got a chance to watch some Wimbledon. You know, I'm a big tennis guy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a tennis guy when it's like a good matchup. Like, to me, tennis reminds me of boxing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a one-on-one sport. You know, I'm a boxing fan when it's a good match. You know what I'm saying? When it's a good, you know what I'm saying? When you got two cats going against each other, that's gonna, like, you know, bring out the best of each other, because styles make fights. So I got a chance to watch Wimbledon earlier today because they had this kid that I've been kind of paying attention to a little bit. His name's Kyrgios. I forgot his first name, but last name is Kyrgios, and he's from Australia. And he's just got a certain swag about him. He's always like kind of arguing and kind of like he's not your typical tennis person, because, you know, tennis is a game where you got to show a lot of etiquette. You know what I'm saying? That's what the part I like about it. It's like a class etiquette type sport, man. I fucks with it, man. I gravitated, you know, my grandfather put me on, and you know, I've been playing it since I was a kid. So you know, I like to watch the different Grand Slams. You know, the Grand Slams, you got the Australian Open, you got the French Open is on clay, you got Wimbledon is on grass, and you got the U.S. Open is on, U.S. and the Australian Open is on the hard court. But anyway, so I'm watching Wimbledon. And Kyrgios, this is the first time making the finals. So he went up against Novak Djokovic, and he's a legend, man. Djokovic is one of the best to ever do it. So I just wanted to see, it was a good, you know, matchup. But Kyrgios, you know, he did his best, but Djokovic took it. Yeah, that dude is the truth, man. It's just calm, cool, collected, you know, fundamentally sound, man. And Djokovic is interesting, man, that he won this tournament because he's not vaxxed. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't even play in the Australian Open. He was on some Kyrie Irving type shit, just on a tennis tip. So he was not able to play the Australian Open because they had certain vaccination rules. So, you know, he couldn't do that. I think he was held at the airport or whatever because they had some shit where you had to take the what you call it, so you had to wait a while. It was some real shit that happened. So he couldn't play the tournament. He was able to play the French Open because, you know, that's a little bit lax. But he lost to Rafael Nadal, beat him in the finals. You know, it's all about Rafael Nadal. Now, you know what I'm saying? Those are the two. Federer, you know, is pretty much retired, it seems like. But they all got, like, they're all goats of the sport. You know, I think, what is it? Federer's got 20 Grand Slams. Rafael Nadal, you know, he just won a French Open, you know, a month ago. And he's got 22 Grand Slams. He actually has the most. But then Novak Djokovic, winning Wimbledon today, has 21 Grand Slams. So they're all neck and neck and neck as far as GOAT conversations or whatever. But it was just a cool thing, man, like, you know, watching Wimbledon, man. I want to get out there and see Wimbledon. I want to go to the Wimbledon, the French Open. I wouldn't mind going to the Australian Open, too. But those are just dope, you know, matches or whatever to go to if you get a chance. Mike, I got to see how it goes, man. But it would be nice, especially since we're back outside, if I get a chance to go to the U.S. Open. It's been a couple of years. I haven't been to the U.S. Open recently because of the whole vaccination, man. But that's just a cool-ass vibe, you know what I'm saying? It's one of my favorite sporting events in New York, you know. So the U.S. Open is a big tennis tournament in Queens, New York. Just dope, man. You know what I mean? If you know, you know, or whatever. So big shout-out to that, man. So I got a chance to see that. It was a good match. It's been a minute since I watched a nice tennis match, man. So I have fun doing that. Lastly, you know, just quick sports reports. Big shout-out to my Browns, Cleveland Browns. You know, football season is, like, right around the corner, man. You know, September, that's when the football season is going to launch. But the Browns, they traded Baker Mayfield to the Carolina Panthers. I just wanted to say peace and shout-outs to Baker. You know, I like what he did for the city, you know, came in, you know, gave our team a little bit of gave us a nice spark, you know what I'm saying? Came in with his swag or whatever, was able to, you know, he got to the playoffs, not last year, but the year before, beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. That was big for my town, big for my city, because, you know, we hadn't done that in over, like, 20 years. So, you know, but it's time to move on, you know what I'm saying? So he's going to go down to Carolina. We'll see what he's going to do down there, see if he's going to compete for the start job with the other guy that got down there. So we'll see what happens, man. But I just want to wish Baker Mayfield the best. But now, you know, we turn the page, man. So now let's see if my Browns can get it together, man, and do what they need to do. Now, Deshaun Watson, we got to see what's going to happen with this whole verdict. So, you know, I know, you know, 20 out of 24 things has been settled, so he's got like maybe four more, and then I think they're going to, you know, say what the suspension is, say what the NFL is going to suspend him. So hopefully, I'm thinking 8 games. The worst case scenario is if he's suspended for the whole season. I don't think they're going to do that because, like I said, he did sit out, you know, the whole last year. I don't think they're going to do 2 years. So I think he's going to get 8 games, but we're going to see. You know, we got Jacoby Brissett, who's going to be our, you know, a backup QB who will be the starter until Deshaun gets back. So, you know, we had to just clear the decks, man. Had to get Baker out of there so we can see what's up. We got two black quarterbacks now. We got Deshaun Watson and then we got Jacoby Brissett. Kind of happy to see that, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't racist or nothing like that, but I ain't going to big up my culture, my people. So I think that's going to be good for Cleveland. Got an awesome team around them. We got Stefanski's the coach. We got Andrew Berry, Harvard-educated black dude as the GM. So I think the Browns is in a good position, man. So we're just going to see if we can show and prove. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is finally retired. So we'll see if Mike Tomlin can get their quarterback situated in Pittsburgh. You know, I know Cincinnati's going to have something to say. I know Baltimore is going to have something to say. AFC North football is brolic. You know what I'm saying? We get to it, man. So it's going to be good, man. Good competition, man. So I'm looking forward to the Browns season, man. So it should be good. So, being the case, you know, this has been the world famous chop up, you know what I'm saying? So big shout out to Black with the topic, you know what I'm saying? We got it to some, you know, we was talking about, you know, earlier, is staying in a relationship for the kids healthy, you know what I'm saying? Definitely some deep convo, you know what I'm saying? This is my therapy session, so, you know, I can't wait to listen to the playback and just, you know, kind of analyze our conversation that we just had, man, because it's you know, it hits home in a lot of ways or whatever. So with that being the case, man, definitely follow the Twitter page, you know, Real Adult Talk, you know what I'm saying? Just hit that follow button, man. I keep it crunk on there, you know what I'm saying? Definitely always a good follow. If you want to put a face with the voice, Mo Binns on IG, MOBINNS. And as always, everybody out there, be safe, and we'll be back, man. You know what I'm saying? Same time next week, man. So everybody, you know, thanks for listening. And Mo Binns signing off.